Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
peace and blessings. We are at it again. It's time for the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. Welcome, friend. I'm glad you joined me tonight. Peace and blessings. My name is your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. I'm your host. I'm glad you could join me tonight. I'm glad we could be together again on a Sunday evening like this. We are wrapping up. Everyone is getting into the so-called holiday spirit, and believe you me, around the Washington, D.C. area, no matter where you drive, no matter where you are, all you run into is traffic, backed up traffic everywhere. I tried to go this weekend. I saw nothing but traffic. I don't know if it's people getting out there, getting ready to start their shopping and spending all of the money that they don't have early or what, but it seems like there are more people on the road now than there were just a few days ago, and from what I'm hearing, that seems to be the trend that's going on as we move through November into December. People are starting all of that Christmas shopping and whatnot very early. So take a look. Today we're going to take a look at the mindset of some of the people that are out there spending money they don't have, spending money that we don't have to keep this tradition going. I heard some people say, you know, no matter what's going on, my children got to have a Christmas. I guess I understand it because, you know, we all came from the same place. But it's 2013, folks. We got to get past this mentality. We're too late in the game to still be engaging in practices that are actually no good for us, keep setting ourselves further and further behind. So I'm not getting into anything too heavy and whatnot. This episode, I got quite a few resources. I've been doing a lot of studying, doing a lot of homework over the past couple of days, so I'm trying to take it easy. I'm trying to finish up my Simple Trend System Black Trading Guide course. I'm so happy. It's a 15-week course, and I have just completed week 14. Next Friday, this Friday coming up, I will be entering into week 15, 15 weeks with Brother Steve Fox. I had him on an episode earlier in the year. This brother, taking off of his normal routine of teaching markets, teaching trading markets around the world. Brother's got experience of going to Korea and Dubai and Europe and just various places around the world to teach his expertise on how to enter into world markets or do as we said, many of us said that we would do during the Million Man March Pledge, enter into international trade. His brother has made good on that ever since the Million Man March. And he has taken a year off of his time to dedicate to focus on black people, particularly brothers and sisters in trade and commerce, exactly how to trade markets, how to profit and benefit and extract wealth out of the markets, no matter whether the market is going up or whether the market is going down. There's a system and a science to everything in life, and there certainly is a system and science to learning how to trade, which is what we pledge we would do. And if you have been listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for any length of time over the past few years, you know that entering into trade and engaging in trade, business, international commerce is certainly has been a prime topic of his. So why we would be slow to move on it is beyond me. This brother has taken off a year from his regular schedule, his regular earning cycle, and focused and dedicated his time to teaching 100 from the Nation of Islam, or at least extending the opportunity to 100 brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam to learn this skill, this specialized knowledge, so that we can go anywhere in the world and be a benefit to ourselves, to our family, and to our people, just like we pledged we would do at the Million Man March. So after 14 weeks, I'm so excited. I feel like my eyes have been opened. If I was in the matrix before, I sure enough swallowed the red pill, and believe you me, we got some work to do. But nothing feels as good as being equipped and able to do the job that's up ahead. So those of you who are still consuming, spending money with companies and corporations and not getting any of that wealth to come back to our community, back to benefit you and your people, I'm urging you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you, stop that, stop that, stop that. We got to do better than that. We got to get ourselves out of that frame of mind and that way of thinking. That brings to mind an article that I just caught wind of. I'm trying to pull it up here. I was just looking at it. It was talking about how the people who follow these reality talk shows, reality shows, and it seems like they're were following the Kardashians, you know, and looking at Real Housewives, and how they roll, and what kind of cars they drive, what kind of handbags they have, and, you know, where they go for vacation. We think that that's real, and so many of us now it's become a part of our culture to look the part. You know, we've heard it so many times, fake it till you make it. That fake it till you make it stuff is killing us. It's killing us. It's killing us. It's setting us back decades. And at this stage of the game, we can't afford to be set back. Well, check this out. This is from blackenterprise.com. I got a lot of good resources to share with you from blackenterprise.com. This is an article, November 24th. Isn't that today? November 24th, 2013. Yeah, that's today. This is a brand new, fresh article published at 6:52 p.m. Are you trying to maintain a reality show lifestyle? Are reality stars really paying for the lavish lifestyle they live on TV? Now, this says, Sunday night is a big night for reality. Real Housewives, from the Real Housewives to the Kardashians, they keep us engaged with drama, but also the beautiful locales, fancy clothes, accessories, yada, yada, yada. Do you find yourself trying to live like a reality show star? If so, here's some truth about those reality shows. Fancy vacations are a farce. I mean, they're fake. It's all just set up to look like something that should be done. When the reality stars travel to nice resorts and enjoy those lush accommodations, you should know they usually get to stay there for free. Why are you paying for a vacation because you saw somebody else go there when that other person went there for free? Spending money, blowing money versus watching somebody else do that because they were paid to do that is not the way to go. We have got to get ourselves, we got to wake up enough so that we realize the game that's being played. It's amazing how much marketing goes into trying to get black people, particularly black women, to spend money, to take money, hard-earned money, away from you and your family and your community and put it into somebody else's community to benefit somebody else's family, ultimately. Gotta, as Minister Farrakhan said, be raised in consciousness, because if you haven't realized it by now, we are at war, economic battle that's going on. And if you don't even know that it's going on, we're really in sad shape. So we got to open up our minds. We got to clear out the cobwebs from our minds and get ourselves in position so that we can be doing the right thing at the right time. So as it is now, from the people who are finding ways to, what is this, the Baby Benz, the Chrysler 300M? Oh, it looks like a Baby Benz. Cat Williams said, no, it looks like a Chrysler 300M. Stop trying to fake it till you make it. Okay? This article says, if you look, when the reality stars travel to those nice resorts and enjoy those lush accommodations, they're staying there for free. Stay there free in exchange for free publicity for the resort or the hotel. Okay? Yeah, if you brought a whole bunch of cameras and you actually had a show that was being broadcast to millions every week, then sure, somebody would offer you a free stay at their resort, or somebody would offer you a high-end spa treatment or something like that. But, you know, if you're just coming out of your pocket to pay for this stuff, then no, you're ending up hurting yourself. You're ending up, you know, setting yourself back, trying to live like the Kardashians. Stop that. It just cracks me up every time I think about it. It's not funny, but we are putting ourselves behind the eight ball. We are really hurting ourselves. This is a conversation, and for the rest of this show, I really want you to join in on this conversation. So if you can, call in at 646-716-5971. As I said, I have some resources that I want to share, but as I bring these points up, I'm hoping to get some feedback from someone so that we know and we understand, so I can get a better picture myself, really, of where people in general are. How is this stuff getting through? Somebody is trying to take wealth out of the black community, and we're just going for it, hook, line, and sinker. Got to be a way that we can circumvent that, okay? That was making a point about trading, about this course, the Simple Trend System Trading course that we're going through. We look at everything that we spend money on the regular. You know, we go to Walmart, we patronize Target, where you are, there may be a Costco or BJ's or Sam's or some big corporate retailer that you support religiously, you know, faithfully. You need something, you know, hey, I'm going to run down to the CVS, run down to Sam's, I'm going to run down to BJ's or Walmart or Target. And you do it without even a second thought. You know, it's just second nature. It's just a reflex of what you do. But every time you do that, you're empowering someone else's community, and you're taking away power from your economics. Circulating the dollar is power for our community. But if you are steadily having those dollars go out, as soon as you get it, it goes to pay someone else outside your community. That's actually what's called self-destruction. And we've got to stop that. Dr. Claude Anderson, for the past 8 or 9 years, has been saying that if black people don't get something going for themselves economically, we as a people, us, all 40-something million of us, don't get some economic system working among us in black America by 2014, we're going to end up being a permanent underclass. You know what a permanent, you know what an underclass is? An underclass is a group of really don't have any political leverage, so it turns out that wherever this underclass lives, wherever, you know, their part of town is, if they happen to be in urban areas or if they happen to be in wherever it is that, you know, there are large populations of this urban class, underclass, you'll find that there's a lot of inequity, there's a lot of injustice. You'll find that there's lack of political clout. You'll find that the school system suffers. You'll find that publicly provided resources suffer. The roads don't get taken care of like they should. The thing that should be in a community to maintain the well-being, health and human services, the thing to maintain the health and wellness and human services that the government should provide, don't come to those particular areas. Why? Because that's an underclass. It doesn't matter. They don't really, you know, register much on the radar. So when it's time to get votes, you know, we can take them for granted, we'll get their votes, so we don't even need to go campaign over there because we don't have to worry about them. We can win without their vote. They're an underclass. When it comes to worrying about actually doing something to right the wrongs, we don't worry about that. They're an underclass. They're not going to make us. They don't have any power to force anybody to do what's right. They're an underclass. Even when it comes time to boycotting certain businesses, nobody considers that to be a real threat anymore, because I guarantee you, that by and large, if there was a call that was put out for black people to boycott something, we would. How many black people after the Trayvon Martin verdict, You know, even though the talk of the town was boycott Florida, boycott anything that comes out of Florida. Did you stop drinking orange juice that came from Florida? Anything that, what else was in Florida? Think about all of the black people who live in Florida and work in Florida. How many industries would be hurt if you did boycott something that so many of our people are dependent on? You know, even the plans that get thought up aren't very effective from an underclass. So the word was put out that if black people don't do something significant on an economic front by 2014, we would become a permanent underclass. We wouldn't even be able to reverse the discrimination and racism and systematic way in which we disenfranchise. Political redistricting is, if ever there's a way, there's an area where there happens to be a large voting block of black constituents, they happen to have a strong political representative in place, the state gets together and actually redraws the lines of that district that's represented, so that where you had a congressman or even a state delegate who represented a particular part of town where there happened to be so many people, they'll cut that in half. They'll cut that in four different places and divide that up among several other candidates. So now where you had one strong representative, maybe four or five pieces, and add them over here, and add them over there, and add them over to some other community, the political strength is gone. The economic strength is gone, because sometimes the laws that existed in that one district that made a certain type of business or activity legal, once things get redistricted, redrawn lines for the district, they can change the zoning law. What used to be commercial is now zoned as residential. What used to be zoned as okay for farming or growing food is now only zoned for commercial. So it has to be offices and buildings and things that aren't conducive to having around farming, where somebody could take advantage of us. And as long as we continue to go along with what we see on TV and what's promoted in movies, and, you know, listen to Jay-Z and everybody's trying to buy Tom Ford and all of the brands that he gets paid to promote. You don't get paid to promote that. What is that store? They're having a lawsuit now, Barney's or whatever it is. A $300 belt. Why would somebody wear a $300 belt? People don't even use a belt to hold their pants up anymore. Buy a $300 belt and then let the pants hang off your behind. That makes no sense whatsoever. Jay-Z gets paid to promote Barney's. But if you buy a $300 belt, Barney's, you are just a sucker because they got your $300. And what are you left with? A belt. Manolo brand shoes. They ain't doing nothing for the black community. That's not helping us at all. To hell with Manolo. To hell with Coach and Gucci and all of these brands that don't do anything for our community. We need to wake up and be raised in consciousness so we can realize that we have a part to play in this economic battle that's going on. And your part is to support black manufacturers and merchants wherever and whenever you can. As a matter of fact, go out of your way to do it. If you had to survive and the only hospital that you could get to was 10 miles away, you would go 10 miles to get to that hospital because you know your survival is at stake. But we are at the point where if we don't start being loyal and in our support of black businesses, being religious about it, being radical about doing business in the black community, our survival. So let go of the reality TV. Stop trying to copy them. Stop trying to live up to the Joneses, the Wests, the Kardashians, or whoever else is out there. Let them folks go. Even with their legal problems and their foreclosures, know good and well they don't have no money to be flying themselves around the world on vacations and jet setting and all this stuff. That's why, you know, this stuff comes and goes for them. They start a new show, then they get more stuff. Then they lose the show and lose all of that stuff. And they have celebrity on their side. They can do that. Practical people, you, me, people who are down to earth, we, you know, don't live the imaginary lifestyle. Get something sound and on the ground while you're still around, okay? Go for real wealth. Start generating wealth by actually acquiring land, real estate. I don't mean, you know, get a mortgage. Don't own debt, okay? If you own debt, if you take a loan out to get anything, at any moment, that can be turned off, and you'll see whether you really own that house or own that car or, you know, own those business assets, whatever the case may be. You got to get creative in how we fund and finance whatever it is that we're going for. That brings me to my next point. I actually found another good resource. Talked about crowdfunding. I've talked about this on the show several episodes ago. We probably did it for several episodes. As a matter of fact, it's another article that I just happened to see today. I think it was published today. 7 key elements of a successful crowdfunding campaign. It says crowdfunding can be an effective tool for raising money for your business. Crowdfunding. Everybody has seen Kickstarter and GoFundMe and sites like that. That's called crowdfunding. You can appeal to wide groups of people and ask them to donate, ask the public to contribute to your cause. Now, you make one caveat here, okay? President Obama signed into law earlier this year, I believe it was, the Jobs Act. The Jobs Act went into effect September 23rd of this year, okay? One of the things that the Jobs Act did was give businesses the right to appeal to the public using crowdfunding, okay? Before, there was only a limited amount of people that a business or an entrepreneur could approach for the sake of investing in their business, for the sake of becoming an owner in their business or shareholder, stakeholder in their business. Okay, you had to be a sophisticated investor or an accredited investor, somebody who has a certain amount of assets or someone who has enough income. I think it has to be over $250,000 a year in income so that you can justify making an investment. If you're making that much, they assume that, you know, you understand the rules. The average person is considered to be not intelligent enough to make rational decisions, not intelligent enough to put all the factors in place to mitigate, to reduce risk and protect themselves from risk. In any investment, you stand to lose all of your investment. Okay, it's the chance that you take. That's the risk. Okay? And in just about any opportunity that you get to invest, the law says that that has to be clearly stated. When you talk about investing, then you are actually losing everything that you invest. That is always a possibility. Look at some of these social media or web-based entities that came and everybody thought it was going to be so great, and then, you know, who knows where it went. Look at the dot-com boom. Every dot-com, dot-net company that ever came out there that seemed like it was just a major player just disappeared almost overnight. I'm remembering FogDog and Cynet. I remember the Baltimore Ravens used to play in Cynet Stadium, E-S-I-N-E-T Stadium. What was Cynet? I didn't even take the time to find out what Cynet was a couple of years later. So anybody who invested in Cynet lost everything they invested. That's a reality with any venture that you go into. Okay, so with crowdfunding, the jobs bill said was, now that can be opened up to the public, but at this phase, I believe at the beginning phase, still can only be offered the opportunity to invest can only be offered to accredited investors or sophisticated investors. Later on down the line, I believe there's some provision in there that's going to change that so that the average everyday can have the opportunity to benefit just like those sophisticated investors can benefit. Where that comes in handy is, let's say, an IPO like Facebook or an IPO like Twitter, and whatever those are. The people who invested before the IPO came out, they made the most money, okay? They made their millions. They've already profited. Anything that happens after it goes public is, you know, it's just gravy on top. If it all folds out, they already made theirs. Okay, if it goes even higher, great. That's added benefit, okay? If you didn't get into before the IPO, you have a chance to gain the tip of the iceberg, okay? So this article is talking about those of you who are in position to actually take advantage of crowdfunding. If you have something to offer and you want to open it up to the public and say, hey, here's a chance for you to put your financial backing behind something that's actually going to be a benefit to you and to many others. So number one, tell your story. You know, tell the facts of the story. You know, you got to elicit the customer by engaging them. But a good story is the key in that lock. Okay? What is it about what you're offering, your idea, your company, whatever it is, that really grips people, really, you know, makes them want to pay attention to you and your opportunity? Okay? Provide value for value. Crowdfunding campaigns hinge on reciprocity. Okay? What's the incentive for backers to pledge to your campaign? What reward do they get? What is it that is in it for the people that you're appealing to? These kind of go across business lines in general, okay? If you have something of value to offer, you got to find a way to make it relevant to people. There are loads of people who have a good idea, but until you connect the dots and make people see that what you have can really, really be a benefit to them, it's just another thing. You know, sometimes they'll say, okay, sometimes they'll, you know, just go above their head. I'm going to take a minute here and look at the switchboard. We've got a few callers that have called in, and I want to actually grab someone and bring them online with me. I got a caller from 301. Who's this?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Varnas, Brother Andre.
Hey, wa alaikum salam. Good brother, how are you?
Doing well, brother. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I just thought I would call in because you're talking about something kind of near and dear to what I've always been concerned with. I know early you were talking about Jay-Z and how they are taking advantage of our community by advertising $300 belts and we're going out and buying them and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, that's of course terrible of them to do. I wish they didn't. But on the other hand, from their perspective, they are engaging in what we should be engaging in, and I think that is multiple income streams. You know, he sells records. He makes money on records, but he also makes money from, you know, several advertisers when he's not making music. And so, and with our people, we're talking about going from penniless to having real wealth, which is what you just explained is land and property and gold, silver, oil, natural resources. That's the real wealth. But how do we get there? Well, I think I take my cue from that book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. And in that book, the Jews started by whenever a Jew came from overseas, they gave that Jew a backpack, and that Jew took that backpack and went to the South and sold whatever little cheap goods he had. Now, that each of those Jewish people who went to the South represented an income stream. And how do we start, you know, to do the same thing, to duplicate the same thing? And I think that would be pretty easy if we sat down and creatively thought about it. Like some of us may provide child care. Some of us may have a hobby of basket weaving or woodworking, whatever it is. I think it would be a good idea for us to trade with each other as practice to do international trade. Somebody could trade child care for some other service that the other person provided. Could be car detailing or whatever it is, because then that is real money. And while we're saving money by trading with each other, we could take the savings and apply that towards obtaining real wealth. And it's a long-term process, but it can be done.
You hit the nail on the head. There's been I did a show some time ago where the subject was time banking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of people heard of, but it's exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
We're used to exchange paper dollars because, you know, that would be associated value. But in time banking, just like you would normally put money in bank, time banking, you put time in the bank, you put in time helping someone else or offering your services to someone else.
Yeah.
In exchange for that, they owe you a certain amount of time.
Right.
Everyone has expertise or everyone has a skill or something that they can offer. So whether it's just, you know, a skill that's as simple as, hey, I got a strong back, I can help you machine and rearrange furniture that you want to decorate for an hour, or I can actually also offer a specialized skill. If I'm a dentist and you help me just fix my plumbing, and yeah, you know, I'll come and I'll take it and your children. There won't be any exchange of money. Or if you watch my children this week, then hey, I will cover your light bill or some other type of thing like that. You know, you have to come up with something that's equal. If you're exchanging something that, you know, that isn't money, then maybe paying it back will be something that's not. So, you know, if somebody watches your children, then maybe you'll do the house cleaning for them. Or when it snows all winter long, you'll be the one takes care of removing the snow from their front door and their driveway. You know, it works out where everybody takes care of everything else. That's what a good
absolutely point. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I won't take any more of your time, brother. I know there's others on the line, so I just continue to listen.
No doubt, brother. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Aye, sir. Slum Lakum.
All right. For anyone else who wants to call in, of course, you know the line is 716-716-5971. You're free to join the conversation. I'm just running through some of these resources that I have, and I'm always glad when someone joins the conversation and joins the discussion. I was going through these issues, these points about crowdfunding, okay? And, of course, again, crowdfunding is when you open up the opportunity to the general public to contribute to your business, your idea, your goal, you know, whatever cause it is you have. A way to raise money is to make sure that you are to put it out there so that the general public has access, knows about it, and can contribute to it, making sure that the people that you're approaching see what's in it for them. As it relates to your business, the next point it says is introduce scarcity. The basic law of economics dictates that scarce supply inherently creates greater demand. Create greater demand for your startup by limiting one or more of the higher level rewards in just a few. This will inflate demand for those rewards and result in higher pledge amounts for your crowdfunding campaign. So let's just say that you offer, you know, however many people are out there, you offer 1,000, you reached 1,000 people. You said, okay, hey, I've got this $100 Get Black Exchange 360. You know, you can save money by supporting black businesses. You got $100 worth of free value, but I only got 5 cards. So the highest, you know, donators, anybody who donates $1,000 or more, you want to get greater contributions. So five items that will certainly go fast are going to do just that, go fast. They'll create a greater demand. You may get a greater response of people who donate at your target than if you just, you know, everybody get a $10 gift card to Starbucks, you know. So you got to create greater demand and create scarcity. So when there's the demand for this, you got more people who are willing to go for it and support or come after what it is that you have to offer. You know, there's a limit of five of these. They're going fast, first come, first serve. Okay? You got to think about that. Another aspect of crowdfunding is you got to create a marketing event. People love to feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. So try to build a feeling of excitement and rally others around your crowdfunding campaign by trying to launch a large, well-known event. An expert in this, oh my goodness, I'm trying so hard to get this sister onto the show. Her and her husband, sister Tiffany Janae, and her husband, Malik Zaki. They're from the West Coast. They just moved out to the East Coast, and they've been building their brand Organic Blood for the past year, year and a half or so. And they are phenomenal when it comes to generating excitement around an event so that they can introduce a new brand and product, a new whatever it is that they have to offer. And I want to get them on the No Romance Without Finance show. If not before the end of the year, because they're very busy, they stay on the grind and they stay on the go. I'm going to try to pull a string, see if I can't get them to make some time for me. I love them as much as they love me, so we're going to make something happen. But definitely, they are experts at creating marketing events. Okay, they build that feeling of excitement. If you go to YouTube and you do a search for Organic Blood is their brand. And I think if you just went to Google and put in Organic Blood, their website will come up, organicblood.net or organicblood.com, whatever it is, promoting natural health and an organic, healthy living lifestyle, vegetarian food, yoga, meditation, and everything that is focused on mind, body, and spirit healing. That's what they're about. And more and more and more people are finding out about it. More and more black people are starting to come to prominence in that field. When you think about holistic health and, you know, the yoga and all those things, you don't typically think of black people. You know, there are very few black names that you can think of. But this couple is doing their part to make sure that this becomes a wider part of our culture, okay? And they did it primarily by focusing on this part right here, creating those marketing events that introduce people to their brand. Next point in creating a successful crowdfunding campaign is highlight examples of social proof. Going back to human desire to feel like a part of something bigger than themselves, most people don't want to be the first or only supporter of a crowdfunding campaign. They want to see other influential advocates joining in. So see if you can find someone notable as an advisor, a backer, or an endorser. Or work your relationships, seal a whole lot of deals, and create a whole lot of opportunities. Share your list of partners and patrons to give confidence to new backers. Let them know that they won't be the only one at your party. Okay? Facebook is good at doing that. You know, if you create an event, who's been invited, who's already said they're coming, who maybe is going to join, all of that stuff, that's marketing tactics, okay? But we've got to learn how to see these things and use them for our benefit. It's time to see more black people get into business. It's time to see more black people on the scene making things like this happen, not just, you know, waiting for the next Thursday night show to come on so we can talk about it. There's a saying, what is it, small minds talk about other people and mediocre minds talk about events. But superior minds talk about ideas. Let's get off of the tip where all we can talk about is what came on the show yesterday. You know, what was scandal about? You know, what are the Redskins doing? What are the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers doing? to heck with what doing while they're out doing their thing, getting paid millions of dollars. We shouldn't be watching them get paid millions of dollars. We should be out doing our own activity that brings us millions of dollars. So let's begin to put some of these essential elements in place and launch our own crowdfunding campaign. The next element is build credit and legitimacy. Okay, many backers will believe it when they see it. In other words, they require some kind of evidence that your startup is legitimate and picking up steam before deciding to back your crowdfunding campaign. So show your backers what they'll be supporting in detail, how it works, how you came up with the idea, pictures or videos if you have a prototype. Remember, you will likely never meet your backers, so the more proof you can provide that your startup is legitimate, the better. Okay? Again, that goes to the whole idea about, oh, we got an idea, we got a good thing here. You got to build out a campaign to show people as much as you can how real this idea that you're talking about is. You know, if you're crowdfunding, what you're doing is working through the internet, showing people an idea that you want them to financially support, you want them to contribute to. You can't just, you know, put a couple words on the screen and have people program. So make it legit, make it big, you know, make it seem like, make it really appear that it is who and what you say it is. They have to see that you know it's real, but they have to know it's real. So you got to present it in such a way that makes that clear in their minds, the minds of the people that you're talking to. All right? And lastly, just interact with your supporters. Don't leave your backers in the dark for weeks after this. Interact with your audience. Frequent updates, thank you emails, social media outreach, response to their questions and feedback. You can build anticipation and increase engagement in many ways. Post updates, counting down to a big surprise regarding your project, conduct a product giveaway, or even host contests involving your crowdfunding campaign. Okay? So get yourself out there. Think outside the box and go and engage the public. That levels the playing field. Again, you know, unless you do a couple of millionaires, $500,000 into your account so that you can get your business up and off the ground, you're pretty much short. And typically, black businesses start operations underfunded. You want to kill that tradition. Certain traditions we just got to let go of, okay? Trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians. Support businesses that don't support the black community, and starting half-baked ideas without all the essential ingredients. We want those traditions to die. We don't want to automatically think of those things when we think of black new habits, good habits, and make those part of how we operate. Again, this is the No Romance Without Finance show. Most part, the main audience that I'm trying to reach are those people who are awake enough consciousness so that we realize we have the responsibility to shoulder of moving our people from one condition to another. We have the responsibility because we're the ones that are going to get out there and be the entrepreneurs. We're going to get out there and be business owners that represent 92% of the growth. The economy afloat, what makes it seem like, oh, there's some movement that the economy is getting better, because individuals aren't going to jobs anymore. We're not, you know, waiting around for unemployment. Individuals are starting up business for themselves. They're looking to see, well, what is it that people around me need that I can provide? And they start these businesses and become the driving force that keeps things afloat. The entrepreneur, okay, is going to be critical to the survival of the average person in our community, okay, because we're the ones who are going to know where the activity and the resources are. We're going to know how to gather those resources and generate that activity and get what's needed to people who don't have any way to get it, don't have any other means or method to get it. And the more we think outside the box, like Brother Andre was saying, you know, learn how to trade in some other thing than money. You know, just because you don't get a paycheck doesn't mean you can no longer afford to get what you need. Every one of us has something to offer. Learn to identify what it is you have to offer. You know who you can approach and how you can approach them so that you may be able to ask them to help you get what you need. Okay? Keep that idea in your mind and help spread that idea. The more we can help others see that way, the better off all of us will be. All right? So I want to take a break real quick. We already missed the top of the hour break. We're approaching 8:30. We've got just about a half an hour left to the rest of the show. So I'm going to take a little break, and we're going to come back on the other side and close up with the rest of these resources that I found. And we'll do that right on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I am your host, Vernon Muhammad. Thank you for joining me. Real quick, we want to have a word from our sponsor. For those of you who don't know, brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam have got together and become manufacturers of bathroom tissue and distributors of other fine paper products that we use every day in our homes, our churches, our mosques, our daycares and schools, items like bathroom tissue, paper towels, facial tissue, trash bags, rubber gloves, food service poly gloves, anything that you can think of that deals with janitorial, sanitation, food service, and even office supplies, legal pads that you would normally run to Target or Walmart or Costco or Sam's or BJ's to buy, you can also buy directly from Freedom Paper Company. Visit the website freedompapercompany.com. Check out the product catalog to find all that there is to offer and all that you can actually start doing business with your own and in your community as opposed to going outside of your community and giving power to someone else. Buy black, support black businesses. Visit freedompapercompany.com and remember that when it's time to think about the fact that you just ran out of bathroom tissue or you're about to run out of bathroom tissue, before you go outside your community, freedom is what you deserve. So support your own. All right. There are a few more resources that I want to share. Again, we're just wrapping up 2013, which has been a very, very good year in many regards, and a very hectic year, very sobering, and wake your behind up type of year in other regards. We got to get ourselves on the ball. You know, if we haven't gotten our stuff together up to this point, we really don't have much more time to waste before we get our financial game tight, before we individually and collectively find ways to weather the storm, find ways to shore ourselves up and put ourselves in position where if, a downsize happens, if a layoff happens, if a furlough happens, if an illness comes about, how you gonna stay afloat? You ever met somebody who can't afford to get sick? That's a scary and a terrible situation to be in. But if you don't have someone around you, if you don't have a community of people around you, or you don't have systems in place that are going to make sure that your needs are met when you're cut off from the other resources or other things you were dependent on, you're going to be in a terrible situation. So now is the time to get ourselves in a better condition, in a better position, so that we can weather any storms that come, so that we can handle any circumstances that develop. The thing that I want to share is about how to protect your business idea without a pattern, without a patent. Okay, a patent means you own this idea, can't nobody copy it or steal it from you. You own it, it's tied to you. So many times in history, black people lost the rights to things that some of the major inventions of the 19th and 20th century came about as a result of black people, but we didn't, you know, we weren't in position. And well, maybe the 20th century, we were better prepared and we were in position to take advantage. There were still quite a few that, because we didn't own a patent, our good idea ended up in somebody else's hands for them to capitalize on and benefit from. Okay? So a patent protects your idea. But sometimes applying for a patent or actually getting a patent can be very, very costly. Okay? So how do you go about doing business? How do you go about sharing your idea or starting yourself out where you have to talk to somebody or share your idea with somebody before you can actually bring it to reality? Here are three tools that we can be introduced to and hopefully start using to protect ourselves. If you don't have these words in your vocabulary, they need to become a part of your vocabulary. Okay, non-disclosure agreement. Sometimes you'll see an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. Have anyone you work with sign a non-disclosure agreement that commits them to confidentiality. It means they can't tell what you're telling them. Okay, they can't disclose to anybody else what you're about to share with them. An NDA can be a mutual agreement between two parties not to share information with third parties. You know, A and B conversations, so can't nobody see this. Or it can go one way, since you're sharing information about your idea with them. Them signing the agreement means they are legally bound to not spill the beans and tell your secrets to anybody else. If the agreement doesn't have an expiration date, that's powerful. So that means they can never share what you shared with them. So can't nobody give your secrets away, your special sauce, your special recipe, your pies, or anything like that. Always reduce things to writing and use a non-disclosure agreement. Repeat agreement. If you hire someone to help you, have him or her sign a non-compete agreement. A non-compete agreement prevents an individual or entity from starting a business that would compete or threaten yours within an established radius. Okay? Let's say you hire a virtual assistant or somebody to go and take care of your books or work your system or do whatever it is you do. It would be a good idea to have that virtual assistant or whoever you get to work with you or for you sign a non-compete agreement. You don't want them to see how you do what you do and then just step out there and say, oh, okay, set up my business over here. I know exactly how to do that. You got a great idea for a little eatery, a little coffee shop or something like that. You don't want McDonald's or Starbucks to come in and, you know, set up your shop, your idea, and everybody start going over there to them. When you had it better and you had it first, protect yourself. Non-compete agreement is what that's called. And a work-for-hire agreement. If you hire someone to help fine-tune your product, make sure to establish that you own any and all improvements made to the idea. Anything they come up with, you own while they're working for you on this particular project or during this particular time. You will still need to list the person who came up with improvements as a co-inventor in your patent, but they will have no rights to your invention. Okay, without that, let's say somebody worked at Microsoft or Apple or wherever the case may be. If Apple or Microsoft didn't already have this work for hire agreement in place, then whoever comes up with the next innovation for the iPhone or for Windows and their tablet computer that they have now, whoever comes up with that, they can just go and start their own brand, exact same stuff that Windows has, but because they didn't have the rights, because, you know, Windows or Apple or Microsoft didn't make sure that that agreement was in place. Somebody could take that idea that they invented and was going to become the next $500 million idea, take it right out there and shop it around to somebody else, causing competition and disclosing something that should be proprietary information. So you, as a small business, as an individual, as an entrepreneur in the making, protect yourself and protect your ideas and what you know is going to be your by utilizing these three tools: non-disclosure agreement, a non-compete agreement, and a work-for-hire agreement. All right? Another resource to share. I got loads of them. But the one that I want to share, I want to make sure I bring to the table, is know-how. Anything that you want to learn, you can actually find out online. It's really, it was not blowing my mind anymore, but until recently, it was blowing my mind how anything you want to learn, you can learn online. Mine was so hard. I used to think that unless you have, you know, Adobe Creative Suite, Photoshop and all that stuff, you know, no, you can't do any of that stuff. It's ridiculous. There's so many free tools out there. First of all, free tools, open source is what they call them. So many open source tools that do exactly what you would pay Adobe or Microsoft or, you know, one of these other large tech enterprises to do. You know, instead of I don't know how much, I don't even know how much Photoshop costs, but I know that in order to do some graphic design work, there's a free program called GIMP, G-I-M-P, 0.6 version 2.8, whatever the version they are out now. Go to GIMP.com, check it out, and you can actually learn how to do graphic design, make professional-looking flyers, okay, professional-looking hand-built and palm cards. You have banners or something to make, imagine if you could do that and start a business of your own. Who said you had to pay $600 or $1,000 to get an Adobe Creative Suite? Get free. Get yourself started. Design business cards, design brochures, design wedding invitations, whatever it is you want to do. The tools are right there. Guess what? When it's time to learn how these programs work, how these software suites operate, you can go to the extreme low-budget way and go to YouTube, because anything that you want to learn, almost anything you want to learn, can be found on YouTube. It's amazing. Any software package you want to learn, how does this program work, go to YouTube, check it out, watch the videos, follow along, get them until you know how to do what it is you're trying to do. In addition to YouTube, if you do have a budget to actually have a tutor or that kind of help on hand, another great resource is lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com. Anything from how to design, good grief, how to edit video, photography, documentaries, how to do web design, CAD. I can't remember what CAD. CAD is actually drawing designs, like 3D designs and graphics. So if you had to create a 3D model, a drawing of a 3D model, you'd use CAD to do that. Educate yourself, you know, find out how to expand and broaden the horizon. Because everything that I'm talking about here is just another field of endeavor that you can create an opportunity for yourself. Okay, you want to learn how to edit audio and graphics and, you know, do your own thing with music or whatever it is you want to do. You're a spoken word artist, want to get into that line of work, go to lynda.com, video tutorial classes that actually teach you how to do that. Music production secrets, audio recording techniques. They even teach you how to use the different software tools, Logic Pro X, Pro Tools 11, Ableton Live. There is absolutely no reason why any brother or any sister can't change their reality between now and 12 years from now if we don't get something going for ourselves, economic, some kind of a skill or trade that someone will find valuable. In the next year, we're going to be in dire straits. Every one of us has to become productive and industrious. And the tools to do that are right at our fingertips. No more sitting on Facebook, you know, playing Farmville. No more, you know, getting into arguments and debates. Spend your time online learning what you can do. I think I did a show earlier this year. In August, I went down to Atlanta to the NAMS conference. NAMS is the Niche Affiliate Marketing System, and it also stands for Novice to Advanced Marketing System. I went down there, and they had a there was one of the presenters who was there, Connie Reagan Green. I've talked about her for years. I admire her a lot. In 2006, I think it was, she was a school teacher and did real estate appraisals part-time. She realized, you know, hey, I can't do this forever. It's time for a change. I just need to take the leap of faith. She quit her teaching job. She left real estate alone, and she went into internet marketing. And from she was diagnosed with cancer, so from her sickbed, from the bed, this woman developed her skills as an internet marketer to the point where she went from zero to making over $10,000 a month. And now I think, you know, so much time has passed, she's making much more than just $10,000 a month. But she's doing this not through multi-level marketing, not by getting involved with somebody else's, you know, promote this, promote that. Internet marketing, that's all she does. She took her computer and said, I'm not going to waste my time on Twitter or waste my time on Facebook. I'm going to use these tools for my advantage. I'm going to learn how to reach as many people as I can with something of value that they already say they want. All she did was learn how to do it, which is what I'm telling you can do by going to lynda.com, by going to YouTube and typing in what it is you want, by using the free resources like GIMP, okay? Equip yourself. Learn what you're able to do, and then do that. Take advantage of the possibilities that are right before you. All right. That's another good resource that I want to share. I want to make sure I have time to let y'all know about some of the that are coming up too. I did a couple of shows early this year, late last year. I did a couple of shows where I was highlighting Robert Kiyosaki's game called Cash Flow. Okay, for those of you who follow Robert Kiyosaki, he is the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad. For those of you who don't follow him, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I think the whole title is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, What the Rich Teach Their Kids About Money That the Poor and Middle Class Don't Know. Okay, so there's a whole set of rules about money that people who have money know about and operate with that the average one of us is clueless about. So if there's something that you don't know, what's the thing to do? Learn it. Put yourself in position so that you can know. Just because you don't know it now doesn't mean you have to remain ignorant and still not know it a year from now. learn everything you can about what's going to be useful to you. Okay, so he developed this board game called Cash Flow that teaches people the rules of the game of money that the rich and wealthy people operate by. And the game teaches it in such a way that you learn how to recognize spot opportunity. You learn what is worth spending money on and what's not worth spending money on. And a couple of episodes of the No Romance Without Finance show was just about playing that game. So I want to announce that we're having another cash flow tournament coming up soon. Soon, and very soon. I think what we're going to do is, let me see, we're going into the week of Thanksgiving now. So I have a special show that's planned for next week. We're going to have a special guest and simulcast show for the Marcus and Sister Cecilia, who do the Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia show. They're going to be coming on, and we're actually going to be talking about No Romance Without Finance, how you can prepare yourself financially for marriage. They're relationship experts. So relationships, black community, you know that's a win-win show. Okay, we're going to talk about the money in the relationships in the black community, how to get that right. That's going to be next Sunday's show. So let's get prepared and let's be on board for that. The following Sunday, December 8th, okay, we're going to have our last, I'm not going to say it's the last, maybe we'll do it one more time, but we're going to have the next cash flow tournament. So if you haven't already visited Robert Kiyosaki's site, it's richdad.com. Check it out for yourself. Great education, great information that he's come out with over the years. Just change our mindset about wealth creation and about how we handle the money that does come into and out of our hands, what we could and should do with it. Okay, he won't give you specific directions, this is what you do, but it'll definitely give you wealth of education around financial matters, whether it's personal finance, whether it's your business finance, or even collective. There are valuable lessons that I learned. This board game, which is now an online e-game, is a very great tool for learning how to recognize good opportunities versus bad opportunities, what makes each one different, how to recognize an asset versus a liability, okay, so that we can, in real life, start to look for more assets and liabilities, and how to figure out the what makes an opportunity a good opportunity. You know, there's numbers involved. You have to look at the numbers, and once you learn how to read the information in the numbers, you can make quick decisions on what's worthwhile and what's not worth your time and what's not worth your money. So there's Cash Flow 101, which kind of leaned heavily toward real estate. Back when the real estate market was profitable and, you know, really building up to be a bubble, you kind of had that game focus on real estate. But Cash Flow 202 now is actually more of what I'm into at this phase of my life, especially after having completed working on completing the Simple Trend System Black Trading Guide course. I'm learning about markets. I'm learning about stocks and commodities and futures and options. Okay? So we're going to have a cash flow tool. All right, folks, sorry about that. My cell phone died, so I had to call in as quickly as I could from Skype again. I'm sorry about that. I should have had the phone plugged in. But I was saying that Cash Flow 202 is what we're going to be doing on the week of December the 8th. So I'm inviting you all, if you haven't gone to richdad.com yet, go to richdad.com, look for the section that says games, go in and get your practice on, because on December 8th, we're going to have a tournament,
And we're going to be playing to educate ourselves. We're going to have some lively conversation during the show. So if you're online playing, I want you to be on the phone so we can talk to one another and interact and share some of the lessons that we're learning while we're playing the game. And we'll be explaining what's going on. It's a really fun game. If you like Monopoly or any games like that, Life, this is like that on steroids, okay? So go ahead and check it out for yourself, richdad.com. Just click on the game section and take a couple of test runs for yourself. We're going to have a particular game set up for No Romance Without Finance, and I think we can get as many as 6 to 12. Might be 6 per game, but I think you can have multiple games going on at once. So hopefully we can have lots of people join in and play in little circles of people learning and getting ourselves financially and economically strong while we have fun, while we have a good time, all right? In addition to that, I want to make sure that I let you know of everybody that we have coming up. We're going to have, I think we're going to try to end the year out before we really get to Christmas. And everybody's out there and with the mad dash and, you know, throwing dollars away because every commercial that you watch on TV is, you know, got you brainwashed and got your children brainwashed. So that's just what we do. We want to end the consumer culture, end our reign as just being consumers. We have to learn to offset the cost of consumerism by learning how to trade. Every one of us goes to places like JCPenney's or Macy's or Target and Walmart, like I said in the beginning of the show. But guess what? We don't own any of this. We don't get any profit from all that money that's spent. Transactions take place all around the world every day. Some of it is stuff that we spend money on. Some of it is stuff that we don't spend money on. But there is absolutely no reason why you can't benefit from those transactions. Guess what? Every day, cattle is traded all around the world. There are people in China or Russia or wherever. They don't have cattle. They don't have beef. But they buy beef from other parts of the world. Did you know that you can benefit, you can profit off of that transaction? In Africa, gold and copper and tin and all types of precious metals and not non-precious metals are mined and moved all around the world. Did you know that you can profit and benefit off of those transactions? All we have to do is learn how to trade and make good on your intention, make good on the pledge that you took at the Million Man March, when you said, I pledge to strive to build schools and hospitals and factories and businesses and enter into international trade. Let's make good on that. Let's be about that. We can't allow our word to just go out there and, you know, come back empty. Let's learn how to do that. Male, female, doesn't matter who you are. We can all learn to trade and be of benefit to ourselves, our family, and our people, okay? And lastly, I want to make sure that I highlight the major effort that's going on right now that's being promoted by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, the Economic Blueprint. If you haven't already heard about it, a major push, again, right in line with the whole idea that black people need to do something significant on the economic front, or else we're going to be in bad shape, okay? So Minister Farrakhan has launched a call for the 16 million wage earners across America, 16 million black wage earners across America, to join together in unity. Remember back when they had the civil rights movement? It seemed like black people everywhere was all on the bus together. Get on the bus. You know, there was a march in. Everybody was marching in. Everybody was protesting and, You know, even children was protesting and trying to go into school that they said they didn't want black children to go in. Everybody was on board. Well, the future of black people is at stake. If we can just all contribute 5 cents a day to this cause, 35 cents a week, after 1 year of doing that, it would create a pool of our resources that equates to $291 million. With that, the intention is to buy land, as much land as you can possibly buy with $291 million. What do you do with that much land? You start farming. You start growing the things that we absolutely need. Where's our food come from? Don't say the supermarket, okay? Food comes from the earth. And if we get some of this earth that we can call our own, then we can grow good, healthy food that's not making us sick. Disease and illness is running rampant in the black community because, one, there's either no supermarkets. Two, there's no supermarkets that actually sell good food. Or three, there's supermarkets that are only selling genetically modified food. So in either one of those cases, you have to have a means to produce your own food. Because eating substandard food, eating genetically modified food, or eating the stuff that you get out of McDonald's and Wendy's and you know, convenience stores is no way to survive. So we've got to have the land to produce the things that we need. Once you have enough land, guess what? You can create inexpensive housing. You can provide for all the food that people need. You can build buildings for hospitals and schools and factories and everything else that we pledged that we would do. You can find raw materials that are needed in other parts of the world. You can generate so many different industries once you have land. Hold that vision in your mind. Think about a place where, just like there's a Chinatown or Little Italy or, you know, all these different places where other ethnic enclaves have been set up. It could be something like that that is a safe haven for black people, something like that that provides opportunity for black people. Think about that. That would be good for you, me, your babies, my babies, and all of us. And from there, we can go and do good all around the world. But it just takes a little bit of effort on everybody's part. 35 cents a week is all that's being asked. Go to economicblueprint.org. Check it out for yourself. Find out what it's all about. And then become a regular participant. You can either do it weekly, you can do it monthly, or it comes to $18.20 a year. Just make one contribution and tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody that you can think of that we all got to get on board with this. We all got on board to vote for Barack. When Jesse was running for president, we all got on board to vote for Jesse Jackson. When Mandela was in jail in South Africa, everybody cared enough to say free South Africa. We in dire straits right now. Get on the bus. Get on board. Let's make this happen. EconomicBlueprint.org. That's it, y'all. I'm done. That's the end of the show. So I want to thank you all for joining me on No Romance Without Finance. I'm glad that you can tune in, be here next week, because as I said, we're going to have Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia from their show, and I certainly want you all to be involved in that conversation. So have a great night, be safe, and may the good Lord bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Turn it, never make it stop. Now never listen to the one them who have said that I can't.